Shortly after Avram and family arrive in Eretz Yisrael, arrive in Canaan, they suffer a devastating famine in the land. And therefore Avram chooses to leave Eretz Yisrael to take his family and to go down to Egypt, where they are hoping to secure provisions so that the family can be sustained. As they're approaching, Avram is very worried that the Egyptians will notice Sarah's beauty. If they know that they are married, they will kill Avram. And therefore he suggests to Sarah that she lie and say that in fact they are brother and sister, hopefully thereby sparing Avraham's life. In fact, that's exactly what happened, in the sense of Sarah's beauty is clearly noticed. She's kidnapped, she's taken to Paro's palace, and she's only released after Hashem afflicts Paro and his whole household with a disease. The story ends with Paro being upset about Avram's subterfuge, banishing Avram and his household from Egypt. And this story, fascinating as it is, really presents two questions, which perhaps ultimately are one. Was it right for Avram to leave Eretz Yisrael? Who told him to do that? He had been told Lech Lecha to go to Eretz Yisrael. Whoever said he had a right to leave? And secondly, and perhaps more problematic, how could Avram endanger Sarah's life? How could he put Sarah in such mortal danger? That's not what we would expect any husband to do, let alone somebody a tzaddik, a moral exemplar on the level of Avram. So really, two questions that are, in fact, one, how can we understand, should we justify Avram's behavior? Is it possible that he made mistakes in this story? These questions, as powerful as they are, not surprisingly, therefore, lead to a very interesting machlokes in the Mefarshim. Ramban, very famously, as well as perhaps less well-known Rabbeinu Bachaye, but really he's echoing the same approach of the Ramban. Ramban says, yes, in fact, Avraham made a mistake. It was a sin for him to leave Eretz Yisrael. He should have trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his family would have been okay, that Hashem would have found a way to take care of Avraham and family despite the famine. Moreover, the Ramban adds very ominously that because of this mistake where Avraham chose to leave Eretz Yisrael, later his descendants will have no choice. They will forcibly be exiled from the land of Eretz Yisrael to Egypt, where unfortunately they will suffer, and ultimately that will go back to being a punishment for Avram's behavior in this parsha. This powerful critique of Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachaye is in opposition, to many other Mefarshim who defend Avram's decision to leave Eretz Yisrael. For example, the Abarbanel assumes that Avram did nothing wrong. After all, the famine and going down to Egypt are part of the famous 10 Nisyonot, the 10 tests that Avram was tested with. And says Abarbanel, since we have a tradition from Chazal that Avram passed all of these tests, how can we say that he sinned? Moreover, logically, he says, it's not fair to criticize Avram. He had no reason to think there was any prohibition in leaving Eretz Yisrael. Just because he was told to go once upon a time to Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean he's never allowed to leave. Moreover, we know the Torah itself says v'chai behem. It's a halacha and a Jewish value that life takes precedent in almost all situations. It certainly takes precedent over living in Eretz Yisrael. And given the fact that the Torah itself emphasizes in our parsha, ki kaved ha-ra'av, the famine was exceedingly difficult. It wasn't just a light famine. It was a heavy, painful, life and death famine. Therefore, it's understandable, says Abarbanel, that Avram had no other choice but to leave Eretz Canaan and go to Mitzrayim, and therefore he does not think it's fair to criticize Avram for that decision. In terms of the second question about putting Sarah in harm's way, here too, Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachaye are critical of Avram's behavior. Here too, they say, he should have had more trust or bitachon in Hashem, and Hashem would have figured out a way to get them out of the problem. He should not have lied and put Sarah in such a difficulty in harm's way. But here too, as well, most other Mefarshim disagree with the critique of Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachaye, and they defend Avram's behavior in one form or another. Both the Tur and the Abarbanel just kind of state categorically that it cannot be that Avraham made a mistake. He made the best of a difficult situation. Moreover, Abarbanel says, if Avraham had sinned, presumably Hashem would have told him that he made a mistake. And yet we're going to read shortly thereafter in Perek Kaf that the next time they're traveling, Avram does the exact same thing. He tells Sarah once again to say that they're brother and sister. Moreover, Avram's own son, Yitzhak, does the same thing with his wife, with Rivka, which we'll read about in Perek Kavav. If it had been a sin, Hashem would have told them they never would have repeated the mistake. Yitzhak wouldn't have done it. The fact that we have this happening two other times in the next few Prakim indicates, says Abarbanel in his opinion, it must be that Avram did nothing wrong. Despite that assurance and that categorical statement by both Tur and Abarbanel, they don't really explain what Avram was actually thinking. Other Mefarshim, however, add that extra point. For example, the Chizkuni explains that Avram did nothing wrong because he had a plan, a solid plan, that he would say that their brother and sister, and if they then asked, wow, your beautiful sister, she married, he would say, yes, but the husband is in some faraway place, we don't know where he is, he has abandoned her. And then, interestingly enough, that would actually protect and save Sarah, because it seems from the Chizkuni that he understands that in that time and place, in that ancient world, to kill a man in order to marry his wife, that was mekubal, that would be acceptable. But to just take a woman who's still married and the husband is still alive somewhere, that they never would have done. To kill him, he would have. But to just take Sarah, if they can't find and kill the husband, they wouldn't have done that. So by saying there's some husband who's undefined and they don't know where he's in some unspecified location, so ironically and surprisingly as it may sound in our ethical hierarchy, that they wouldn't have done. They wouldn't take her if they couldn't find and kill the husband. And since they wouldn't know who the husband was or where he was, they wouldn't be able to kill her. That was Chizkuni's plan. Avram's plan, according to Chizkuni. Sfarno says something very interesting, slightly differently. He says Avram was trying to delay and buy time, with the hope that when they saw how beautiful Sarah was, not one, but multiple, various Egyptians would all want to marry her, and they'd all be vying for a hand in marriage. And to do so, they'd all be giving Avram various gifts as the older brother, trying to bribe or entice him to give them his sister in marriage, and certainly they never would hurt him this whole time. Plus, while this negotiation was happening, presumably with multiple people, Avram would be able to quickly buy the provisions, and then they'd quickly be able to get out of Dodge, they'd leave the country, everything would be okay. It was a great plan, says the Sforno, but it all fell apart when they got to Egypt, because right away they just took Sarah to Paro's palace, and his whole expected plan never came to fruition.